with what's news from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Efforts are underway in some cities and states to standardize hours for shift workers.
Workers are struggling with instability in their schedules, not knowing how many hours they're going to get or if they're going to be able to make ends meet with their paychecks.
Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinsig has the details. But first, here are some top stories. In a hearing that lasted more than 8 hours on Thursday, senators grilled Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, the woman who's accused him of sexual assault when they were teenagers. Ford said she was 100% sure that Kavanaugh was her attacker. Kavanaugh fiercely denied the allegations. Wall Street Journal reporter Natalie Andrews says the word of the day was contentious.
There were fighting. There were tears from both Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh. We kind of saw it all at times. There were light moments, such as when Dr. Ford said that her house was not aesthetically pleasing, though she said it that way because she'd insisted on a door for a remodel because of anxiety and PTSD after her sexual assault.
For complete coverage of the hearing and the latest updates, head to WSJ.com or the WSJ app. Securities regulators have sued Tesla chief executive Elon Musk for fraud and are seeking to remove him from the company. The Securities and Exchange Commission says Musk misled shareholders in August when he said he had secured funding to take Tesla private. The lawsuit filed Thursday also seeks civil penalties against Musk, who called the lawsuit unjustified and said he was deeply saddened and disappointed. And at another hearing on Capitol Hill on Thursday, critics accused Google and other tech firms of being biased against the free speech rights of conservatives. Witnesses representing conservative media said social media companies have restricted their internet traffic. Google and Facebook representatives denied accusations of bias. Boeing has secured another contract with the Pentagon. The latest deal to provide new trainer jets for the Air Force is worth up to $9.2 billion. The aerospace giant was also recently awarded two other contracts with the Pentagon to provide refueling drones for the U.S. Navy and helicopters for the U.S. Air Force. Still to come, more on efforts to provide greater predictability for shift workers. Some cities and states, including Seattle and New York, are looking into ways to make work hours more predictable for shift workers employed in industries like retail, fast food, and hospitality. Joining us now with more on how that could impact workers and their employers is Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinsig. Rachel, you spoke to workers in these industries. What did they have to say about the difficulties that they face as shift workers?
It's not easy. And it's interesting, you know, I think we think about topics like the minimum wage as being really pressing for these workers, but it's not just about how much they're making per hour. It's about the hours that they're working. So I heard a lot from folks about the struggle to get enough hours every week, about the variability, just not knowing if you're going to be able to make ends meet, not knowing if you can book a doctor's appointment for 2 weeks out because you don't know what your schedule's going to be like. It's really hard to just have no control, I think.
So among the cities and states who are looking to change this with so-called Fair Work Week legislation, what can you tell us about the details of some of their efforts so far?
The rules all do vary a little bit, but a lot of them revolve around this idea of giving people advance notice into their schedules, so as much as 2 weeks, giving them some sort of a sense of how many hours they're going to get before they're hired, cutting down on so-called clopenings, where you are closing the store one evening and working late and then coming in early the next morning, cutting back on on-call shifts. And some of this is just through making companies pay extra compensation to workers. So in some of the states, you can still have an on-call shift. You just have to pay people for it, even if you don't call them in to work.
And what are some of the cities and states that are working on pushing these types of measures through right now?
Chicago and Philadelphia are currently considering this. It's in front of their city councils. There are campaigns underway in Los Angeles. And I did hear from a source that there are some other states that are considering this, although she would not reveal which ones.
What are you hearing from advocates about the impact that legislation like this could have for workers in these industries?
That's a good question. You know, I think they think it's a start. There is research coming out, you know, that's really just starting that's showing that stable schedules have an impact on workers. They point to a lot of that. There was a study released earlier this year on some efforts at The Gap, again, not connected to these laws, really just efforts that The Gap undertook on its own, showing that sales increased, that productivity increased. So they point to a lot of this stuff. You know, there's another study of Emeryville, California, showing that workers' sleep gets better when they have more predictable schedules. And so I think they think it's a start. I think there is an acknowledgement that these laws aren't totally perfect, especially when it comes to ensuring that workers have enough hours total. The laws kind of nod at that. Some of the laws have stipulations saying that companies have to offer extra workers to existing staff before hiring new staff. So they're trying to give people more hours, but it's unclear if that's really working.
And you also spoke to some employers who have made these changes on their own. So what did you hear from them about how they're working out?
Yes. So I spoke to one company that is not impacted by the law. The laws, again, they vary, but they're usually targeting bigger companies. So a lot of your smaller mom and pop shops with, let's say, less than 500 employees, they don't have to adhere to these laws. But a lot of companies are trying to kind of get ahead of the legislation anyway. They figure we're going to grow. We're going to be under these laws soon enough anyway. Maybe this could help us recruit talent. It's the right thing to do. And so I talked to one company in Washington State that had kind of done this on their own, given people more advance notice of schedules and given folks more hours. And they found that retention increased. They thought it was a good thing. I mean, they couldn't, you know, directly say it was just because of how they changed scheduling. But they felt like giving workers more stability made workers happier and more likely to stick around.
And what about the challenges? Are any employers pushing back on this?
Yes, especially employers that are in places where they're doing it because the law has gone into effect. It's, you know, they tell me it's hard. They tell me there's a lot of paperwork, that these laws are complicated. They're scared of kind of skirting them by accident. It's hard. You know, it's just little operational changes, like you have to change the way you fill in for workers who call out sick. You have to keep a close eye on workers staying late. I talked to a McDonald's operator in Oregon State, and the executive told me, you know, we get really busy and we used to, you know, you could just have people stay a little later if they wanted and you would pay them for that time. But now if they stay past 30 minutes, we have to pay them for that time and pay them this extra fee because it's a change in schedule. And so managers have to really keep tabs on their staffing. And it's been really stressful, he said.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinzig joining us in our studio. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thanks for having me.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for the Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.